الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program or this Islamic studies class is designed to present what Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when a kite when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or somewhere taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. Those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's topic or subject will be on the final or last sermon of Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. And so what I want to say about that, there are various versions of this particular speech or last sermon, which takes place on Mount Arafat, on the Valley of Arafat in Mecca, when we go on Hajj. Then we go through, we do certain rites or certain rituals during the Hajj season, H-A-J-J. And you listen to one of my previous episodes, early episodes, you'll find out a little bit more about Hajj, but I won't go into details about it right now. It's basically an annual ritual that Muslims do if they can afford to do so. And so the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he had about maybe 100,000, about 200,000 people with him, and he stopped in this valley or in Mount Arafat. And then he said to the people some very interesting things he said to the people. And what he said to the people, gave him some, within the speech itself, he gave a lot of like what you would call basic information or advice that he gave to the people of things for them not to do and for them to do. And so there's a lot to unpack in this particular sermon. And so what I'm going to do is I'm not going to read it all the way through. I'm going to try to unpack some things, explain some things along the ways, the importance of certain things that he said along the way, and then continue. And hopefully I won't lose anyone along the way. And I suggest that you listen to this episode again later on. Maybe gather some friends together and say, hey, listen to this. And so you all listen to it again and have an attentive ear and listen closer to what is being said and what is being explained to the people. And so what happened is the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, O people, lend me an attentive ear, for I know not whether after this year I shall ever be amongst you again. Therefore, listen carefully to what I am saying and take these words to those who could not be present here today. So I want you all to please do that. Those who are not listening to me today, not able to listen to me today, then you take the message that I'm presenting to you or that the Prophet Muhammad said in his last sermon, and you take this to those people who are not present. And so let me move on, my beautiful students. So he said, O people, just as you regard this month, this day, this city as sacred, so regard the life and the property of every Muslim a sacred trust. return the goods entrusted to you to their rightful owners. Hurt no one so that no one may hurt you. Remember that you will indeed meet your Lord, and that you will indeed reckon your deeds. So again, if someone gave you something, lent you something, then of course you give that thing back to them, and you don't hold on to it. The Prophet Muhammad was a good example of that, because there were people boycotting and giving him a hard time. Him and his followers in Mecca, they give him a very hard time. So they basically got the word from Allah to go from Mecca to Medina. Medina is a safer place for you. And so they went to the town of Medina, and they're about 200 miles, if you will, between the two of them. But before he left, what he did was he made sure that anything people gave to him, entrusted to him, that he gave back to them. Although his life was in jeopardy, it didn't matter to him. He wanted to turn back to the people, or people entrusted to him. He wanted to return that back to the people, regardless of his life, life being in danger. He wanted to make sure that the people got their things back to them. And so you should do the same. If someone gives something to you and trusts you to watch over on something, and you are among the trustworthy people, and then you make sure you give it back to those people, or put in your will that, okay, I die, make sure so and so get back. If I haven't done it already, then you make sure so and so gets back everything that he gave to me, or this thing he gave to me, make sure he get it back. This thing she gave to me, make sure that she gets it back. And so people entrust that to you, and so you make sure that you get that back. And one of the signs of a person who's a hypocrite is that you entrust them with something, and then they do something not to show that they are not trustworthy. So that's one of the many signs of a person who is a hypocrite. And so you don't want to be known like that. You just give back anything that someone entrusted to you, and they gave it to you. Why? Because they trusted you. That's why they gave you that particular island or that particular item. And so that's what he did. And so he said, not to hurt anyone, so that you also will not get hurt. So you have to remember not to do that, not to hurt people. And we don't want to also be hurt. Either people collect from you now, or collect from you later. Collect from you in this life what you owe to them, or any hurt you've done to them, and or collect from you later on any wrong that you've done to them, or any hurt you've done to that individual. So let me move on. Also, the Prophet, peace be upon him, he said, Allah forbid it you to take usury or interest. Therefore, all interest obligation shall henceforth be waived. Your capital is yours to keep, and you will neither inflict nor suffer any inequity. And Allah has judged that there shall be no interest, and that all interest due to a particular individual should be waived. If you owe anything, any interest to an individual, then you don't go into that particular financial agreement if it requires that you have interest. And interest basically is, some people say call it usury, some call it interest. For example, I'm going to buy a car, and they say, okay, in order to buy this car, we're going to charge you interest over the life of the loan to you. And so the interest may be, for example, 10%, or the interest may be 35%. They'll tell you how much you're going to owe. Other than what you owe on a car, what the car costs, and that might be a high price, but also over the years, every year, we're going to charge you 10% added on to what you owe to us. And so then that means your particular what you owe to them is going to balloon or grow to a certain point, from a small amount to a very large amount. Say over 5 years, you're talking about 10% of whatever it is that you owe to them. That's a quite a, that's quite a bit of money. A 35%, and that also is quite a bit of money. And so a Muslim, we don't get involved in interest. I know people may have all kinds of excuses to do so or to do it. Well, that's something that we don't get involved with as Muslims. And so you said, probably say, well, how do you buy a car or how do you buy a house? And particularly in some places where they charge interest on the loan of the money. And so what we could do, for example, someone can buy the car for you, or they may charge you more money. It's not interest. They said, for example, okay, the car costs, say, $5,000. Okay, I'm going to charge you for the car $7,000. And that's it. I'm not going to add anything else to it, take anything else away. That's how much I'm going to sell you the car. And the same thing for a house. The house costs, for example, let's say $300,000, but I'm going to charge you $350,000 for this house. And over 15 years or 30 years, you're going to pay me this amount, this one solid amount to me over that period. And so my beautiful students, I want you all to understand, so there's no interest involved there. It's just that the person is buying a car, for example, and selling it to you for this amount, and then you agree with to it, buying a house and sell it to this amount, and you agree to it. And so that's what can happen, and it's not an interest thing. It grows 10% every year. It's just that, okay, I agree to pay this amount for the car. I bought the car. I'm going to sell it to you for this amount, and you agree to buy it from me for this amount. And alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, and that's what I've done for my, I'm not bragging anything like that, but it works. I bought my house like that, and also I bought cars like that, or just pay cash straight out for a car with no interest being involved. Now, when you look Islamic and when you look up interest in the Quran, and you all have Quran as your only textbook or required textbook for this class, pretty much every time you read the word interest or usury or riba, R-I-B-A, you'll find something like a harsh punishment for that. In other words, you make Allah said he make war on you, individual that takes the interest. Meaning anyone that takes the interest, witness the interest, or write it up. All those people get a certain amount of punishment because of their involvement in this transaction. And so that's all part of staying away from interest when you're talking about here, no usury or no interest. And so let me move on, my beautiful students, to another part of this particular sermon. And then it says, O men, the unbelievers indulge in tampering with the calendar in order to make permissible that which Allah forbade, and to prohibit what Allah has made permissible. With the law, the months are 12 in number. Four of them are holy. There are successive, and also no what you call occurrences, singly between the months Jumada and Shaban. And so I won't get into the details about this, but we, of course, it says that we have to be careful that people are making what is permissible okay for you, what is permissible, they forbid you to do it, and then what is forbidding, they make permissible for you that for you to do that. Like usury, for example. Okay, usury or riba or interest is forbidden, but they make what? they make it okay for you to do and permissible for you to do it. And no excuse for the Muslim to get involved in anything like that when we have alternative ways of doing that. We have organizations, for example, as I haven't mentioned earlier, I'll mention now, is that you want to buy a house, then what we do is we will buy the house for you, then we'll sell the house to you at this price, 15 years or 30 years, and we don't do anything in terms of charging you interest on the house, and we share in the house. And so I'm lending the money, I share in the house, and you share in the house. And right now, initially, I have the biggest share and ownership of the house. But you pay me back every year, or every time you pay me back, then I get less and less of share in the house, and you own more and more in the house until you totally buy me out, and then I no longer own a share in the house, and you now own the house outright. And so that kind of thing, some people make it forbidden to do, but it's permissible to do in Islam. So let me move on, my beautiful students. And it says also, beware of Shaitan for the safety of your religion. He has lost all hope, and he will be able to lead you astray in big things, so be aware of following him in small things. So here again, Shaitan, S-A-T-A-N, that's the devil. And starting off with the first man and first woman, which was Adam and Eve, when he persuaded them to eat from a tree that Allah forbade them to do. And so he persuaded them to eat from the tree. And I think some of the scholars say he persuaded them by telling them, you want to live longer and never die. And so, okay, eat from the tree. And so he persuaded them to eat from the tree. They ate from the tree, the forbidden tree. And then we know the rest of the story. And Shaitan asked Allah. He knows Allah exists. He knows that Allah is the one and only. He the creator of him and everything that we see, everything that we don't see. So he say, Allah, oh Allah, give me respite. I know I'm in trouble with you. Look, give me respite, is that I will stay on Sirat al-Mustaqim. I will stay on a straight path. I will mislead the people. And that's what he does. He misleads the people. He may not be able to get people in larger things. Maybe not get some people to not miss their five daily prayers. But he may get them on smaller things. Maybe the way they dress, maybe get involved with men and women, those kind of things. Maybe got involved with usury or interest. So he may not be able to get us to do large things, but he may just get us to do smaller things, where a lot of times it builds up to the larger things. And so he is warning us to be very careful, that Shaitan is there, Shaitan is lost, and that he wants you to also be lost, and also want to take you off the straight path. So let me move on. And also it says, O people, it is true that you have certain rights regarding to your women, but they also have rights over you. Remember that you have taken them as your wives only under Allah's trust and with his permission. If they obey you by your right, then to them belong the right to be fed and clothed in kindness. Do not treat your women, do treat your women well and be kind to them, for they are your partners and committed helpers. And it is your right that they do not take friends with anyone of whom you do not approve, as well as never to be unchaste. And so let me look at this, is that we are to treat the women in a certain way and not hurt them or cause harm to them, and they have certain rights. In Islam, I said it in one of my episodes before, there are certain rights that the women have and certain rights of the men. And neither one of us can take the rights away from the other. or if a person comes to your house, for example, every time they come to the house, they cause problems in the house, and so the husband might say, okay, don't let this person no longer come into the house because they do nothing but cause problems. So don't let them in. And so, or they may say, don't let them in unless I'm here. Or I approve of them coming or not coming in the house. So we have to be very careful about that. And also forbidding certain people to come in the house that, of course, are going to cause problems. You don't forbid for a man, okay, had authority to forbid you from having people come into the house, okay? But some men may overdo it, and no one comes in the house. Particularly a man that likes to abuse a woman. And so one of the things that sometimes they do is that they will isolate the woman from her family because they want to have total control over her in this particular situation. So no, men, that's not something that we do. And you're not getting away with anything because the law knows all that you do and all that you don't do. So let me move on, my beautiful students. And it's also mentioned, he said, O people, listen to me in earnest. Worship Allah. Say your five daily prayers, fast during the month of Ramadan, and give your wealth in zakat. Perform Hajj if you can afford to do it. So these basically are the pillars of Islam. First one is to bear witness to no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the last messenger of Allah. And of course, make the five daily prayers, fast during the month of Ramadan, and pay a certain amount from our earnings. We pay a certain amount to zakat to help those in need, and also can make Hajj at least once in our lifetime. We can afford to do so. It's mentioned. All mankind is from Adam and Eve. An Arab has no superiority over a non-Arab, nor a non-Arab have any superiority over an Arab. Also, a white has no superiority over a black, nor a black has any superiority over a white, except by piety and good action. Learn that every Muslim is a brother to every Muslim, and that the Muslim constitute one brotherhood. Nothing shall be legitimate to a Muslim which belongs to a fellow Muslim unless it was given freely and willingly. So this one pretty much speaks to itself about Ummat al-Wahida being one Ummah, being one nation. And doesn't matter about the color of your skin. The color of your skin does not make you better than me, nor me better than you. And what makes us superior is our piety and also our good action. That's the only thing you have over me, and that's the only thing that you have over that I have over you, and you have over me. Let's move on, because my time is running short. Do not therefore do injustice unto yourselves. Remember, one day you will meet Allah and answer your deeds. So beware, do not astray from the path of righteousness after I'm gone. So again, he is advising us to stay on the straight path and do not do injustice to one another. It also mentioned, O people, no prophet or apostle will come after me, and no new faith will be born. Reason well, therefore, O people, and understand words that I convey to you. I leave behind me two things, the Quran and the Sunnah, and if you follow these, you will never go astray. And so we have to keep that in mind. No matter how many ways that people add things to our faith, don't go for it. Just follow those two things, the Quran and the way the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and we cannot go wrong. It mentioned, all those who listen to me shall pass on my words to others, and those to others again. And may the last ones understand my words better than those who listen to me directly. O Allah, be my witness that I have conveyed your message to your people. And as part of this sermon, the prophet recited to them a revelation from Allah, on which he had just received, and which completed completed the Quran, for it was the last passage to be revealed. And you all can turn to that passage right now, and that is in chapter 5, verse 3. Again, chapter 5, verse 3. And so what it says is, this day the believers despair of prevailing against your religion. I'm sorry, this day the disbelievers despair of prevailing against your religion. So fear them not, but fear me, Allah. This day I have perfected you and your religion, and fulfilled my favor upon you. And it had been my good pleasure to choose Islam for you as your religion. So we see here that Allah said, look, your religion is Islam. I perfected your religion and chose for you Islam as your religion. No other religion going to come after this, that the Prophet, peace and blessings upon him, said. And so we had to keep all these things in mind. And these are, the last words that the Prophet said. And then finally, the sermon was repeated sentence by sentence by thy particular brother, Safwan's brother, Rabia. May Allah be pleased with him, who had a powerful voice. And at the request of the Prophet, and he faithfully proclaimed it over 10,000 gathered on his occasion. Towards the end of his sermon, the Prophet asked, "O people, have I faithfully delivered to you my message?" A powerful murmur. It blasted by the people. Said by the people, "O Allah, yes, Lord, Naam, yes." Arose for thousands of pilgrims. The words vibrated. These particular words. And so, the Prophet, he raised his hand, his forefinger, and said, "O Allah, bear witness that I have conveyed your message to your people." So he confirmed to the people that conveyed the message, and the people said, "Yes, O Allah, yes." He revealed the message to him, and then he said to Allah, after he raised his finger up, and he says, forefinger up, and he says, "O Allah, bear witness that I have conveyed your message to your people." He didn't say my people. He said your people. And so please listen to this particular episode again. And in case I missed anything or you missed anything, like I said, a very various version of this particular sermon, a final sermon, last sermon, some say the last khutbah, and you should be able to get a lot out of it. We gave some message, and all the other messages he gave throughout his life to the people are as important, but these are some messages that he said to the people about the black one and the white one and the women and usury and be careful that you don't do things that are forbidding, people make permissible, and those people think they make permissible, they make forbidding, and forbidding they make permissible. So be very careful about that. Oh my, oh Allah, and you, my students, you have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Verse 3. Again, chapter 5, verse 3. And so, verse 3. Again, chapter 5, verse 3. And then chapter 5, verse 4. Verse 3. Again, chapter 5, verse 3. And chapter 5, verse 4. Verse 3. Again, chapter 5, verse 3. The last passage to be revealed. And you all can turn to that passage right now. And that is in chapter 5, verse 4. Verse 3. Again, chapter 5, verse 3. People come in, okay, I had authority to forbid you from having people come in. You don't forbid for a man, okay, I had authority to forbid you from having people come. Give all kinds of excuses to do so or to do it. Well, that's something that So again, if someone gave you something, lent you something, then of course you give that thing